Hello, everyone. I can't talk now. I don't care. We're going to roll with it. This is the Faith-Focused Discipleship Podcast. It's the Davey and Cavi show today, and yeah. This is dangerous because us together is problematic on many levels. Because two white men have never been problematic, right?
Never.
Davey and I obviously go back a long time because you've been here, what, 3 years now?
Yep.
But Davey and I, we met 10 years ago this fall. It was 10 years ago this fall is when we started seminary.
Yeah. Wow.
Because we both started seminary at Bethel Seminary back in the fall of 2015. Yeah. So, which is kind of terrifying. You didn't have one of your children at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We were about to have our second.
Wow.
No. We had two.
You did have two?
Yeah. Our youngest was 6 months at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember anything.
She was born in December of 2014.
Okay. So anyway, we've been together as friends for a long time and coworkers now for 3 years. And it's kind of fun because when we were in seminary, we were always joking along with a couple other classmates of ours that we were going to end up working at a church together someday. And then those two are working at Mill City together. Yep. And then we ended up working here together. So now we just have to rearrange things so eventually all of us work together at some point. But that'll probably be years down the road. But the purpose of today's podcast is to kind of say goodbye to Davey.
You gonna be okay?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna be ecstatic. No, I'm kidding. As many of you have heard, Davey has taken on a new role as youth pastor up at Lakeview Covenant Church in Duluth, up yonder, northern Minnesota. So I just thought it would be nice to have Davey here to reminisce a little bit and share some stories and just kind of hear a little bit about where he's been in the last couple of years and what's coming up next. So, and we kind of harass each other, so it's all in love. It's fine.
Yes, it's fine.
Somebody once recently told me about something. You know the love languages, the word like words of affirmation and physical touch and gifts. There's a sixth one that nobody talks about. It's called words of ironic abuse, and
yes.
that's Davey and I. So
absolutely,
yeah. So Davey's going to have to find someone to harass me once he's gone. So, and one of you wants to take on that role as a listener, please do. So, so Davey, let's just kind of look back a couple years.
Yeah.
Kind of the 2022 era before you came on staff here at Faith Covenant. Where were you in life before you began at Faith Covenant? And how did you get here?
So when you called me and asked me, hey, would you be interested in a youth pastor position? It's part-time, but you can also be the maintenance person. And then I laughed when you said that because I'm not good with my hands at all. But I had just been released from Youth for Christ. So I was in the startup division at Youth for Christ. For those that don't know, Youth for Christ is a parachurch organization that does a lot of work with teenagers in schools and in the community more so than in the local church. And our division, I had started a brand new startup in White Bear Lake, had been, the whole division, not just me, the whole division had been basically shut down. And so, I don't know the exact numbers, but I bet you around 100 people lost their jobs in the company. And so that I was one of them. And so I was like, yeah, I need a job. So I'll definitely be interested. And, yeah, so it's because of you, so thank you, but also your fault.
Yeah.
Because
I've been regretting it ever since.
You're probably a masochist in that way.
Probably. That and marathons, yeah.
Yeah.
I torture myself.
So that's how the process started, and it's been a long journey because I think it's been 3 years, but it feels like longer to me. It feels like a little bit longer, but a lot has happened since then.
Feels like a century for me.
A lot has happened since then. A lot of good things. But one of the things I wanted to share, I don't know if I've shared on stage or anything, I was doing some quiet time Devo during the process of interviewing here. And I don't know if you ever talked about this on the podcast or in your sermons. Every great once in a while, God gives me visions or words. This time it was words. Gave me four words. They will restore you. I didn't really know what that meant at the time. because I was interviewing at another church as well. And what that really meant is going back, and I don't, it's not necessary to get into details, but my first ministry job was at the church I grew up in, which had a lot of great things about it, but a lot of hard things about it too. And it didn't end well, and they didn't treat me well at the end. And just didn't handle wanting to move on from me well. And so I had a lot of church hurt and trauma that I was, going to seminary was a really helpful thing for me, because you get close with people in your cohort and you can process things and share things with other people that are going through the same thing that you're going through. Maybe not the same circumstance, but different things in their life that's been hard. And being a person that has chosen to be in ministry for their career is just a unique, different thing that comes with unique challenges. So that was a really great time for me to process and heal. But then there's still some healing that needed to be done. And why I bring that up is faith has been very good to me, been very encouraging. The people in this community have always encouraged me, always thanked me for what I'm doing, always been really encouraging to mention on stage. A few ladies in our church specifically have just been really great at encouraging and having conversations with Kaylee, and that was a really important. That just showed me a lot about the church right off the bat, that they would go out of their way to make sure that Kaylee felt at home and welcomed.
Mm-hmm. And Kaylee's your oldest daughter.
Kaylee's the oldest daughter, and she's very introverted, and so that was a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of your, like, hopes and expectations when you first got started here?
I think some of the expectations and hopes was as excited. For two reasons. One is through seminary, I got told no a lot.
Mostly by me.
I just don't fit the typical mold. I lack confidence sometimes, especially in interviews, and I didn't have the experience that a lot of churches were looking for. I started my career kind of later in life, and not super outgoing, just bad first impressions is the best way to look at it. And so I was just excited to have an opportunity to do what I know I was called into and talented for and skilled at. But then number two, to continue to do parachurch ministry with Young Life, I was really excited about that. I don't know if I had expectations, but my expectations were tempered quite a bit when I learned that Young Life was a restart, but then also because of COVID, the youth group was basically a restart too. And so that was a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, looking back, I don't know if I really had expectations. I was excited about the opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was affirmed by many people around me that I had the skills to do that, to do restarts and to build something from the ground up. And so I enjoyed the challenge, but it was also like, okay, here, the expectations are we need to build from the ground up. So
in the last 3 years, what would you say some of your favorite memories have been?
So I good memories. Actually, one of my favorite, some of my favorite memories is you and I on stage just heckling each other, kind of. Like,
pretty much.
One of my favorite, very quirky, I understand, but that's the point. But one of my favorite things that I created while I was here is it's a Merry Taco Christmas. And tacos and Christmas don't go together, but that's the point. And why I really love...
And this is why he's in youth ministry.
Why I really love youth ministry, but especially junior hires. If you put two things together that don't belong together, like, sure, why not?
Yep.
So one of my favorite memories actually is just coming up with quirky things and then you making fun of me on stage. I really appreciated that.
Anytime. I can keep doing it from afar, too. Yeah. Y'all remember Davey? He was the worst. New people are like, what?
Who's this Davey? Why do I need to know about him? Other memories. We had some really good highs with Young Life. We took about 15 kids in the community that didn't have a lot of experience with church or Jesus, and we introduced them to Jesus. We took them to camps. We took them to fall camps. Took them to summer camps. That was a big highlight. There was I think, 1 week where we had close to 20 kids shoved into my basement space. So that was fun. I think the highlight as far as ministry was we did a couple combined youth group and Young Life events. Kind of evangelism focus where he had 40, 45 kids in that room, and that was really great. Kind of on a whim, Shelly put together a cast party for the local middle school Finding Nemo cast, and there was like over 50 kids, close to 50 kids in the room and parents, and they're just using our space. That was really fun. Arctic Blast. Just starting something. I had this crazy idea of, like, I was kind of annoyed that Covenant Pines didn't have any fall retreat because they were kind of readjusting or figuring out stuff through COVID, and there was no fall retreat. And so, now this is Terry's fault. You can't take credit for this one, but she told me that I could rent a camp and make my own. I was like, oh, okay.
Let's do it.
So I called a couple youth pastor friends and made this thing. And it was real intentional as far as, like, I want to do something for the little people. And so...
You mean the little youth groups, not...
Yeah, not the little people.
Like. Yeah.
So we designed this winter camp for churches like ours that have a good amount of resources but are restarting through COVID, or churches that don't have the resource and just need something to go to. Mm-hmm. That feels like for them, not for, like, there's two mega church youth groups and then we bring our five kids. That's right. Not a good fit for them. So that dream started, and it was kind of weird at first, but it's had a lot of growth. And last year we had over 80 kids, and including adults, we had over 100 last year. And so seven churches, and I'm going to add at least one or two more this year and continue doing that. And so that was a huge highlight for me. And just seeing more leaders come into the ministry and how excited they are to come every week and how they're just always willing to learn, to chip in and do things, just have a great team of leaders. And so that's been a real big highlight for me. I learned way back a long time ago when I was working for Reebok that I just have a gift and enjoy finding people and developing leaders. And a big joy for me, actually, that's I've kind of stumbled into while being at Faith, is I just enjoy recruiting people, not necessarily for youth ministry. I've had meetings with people initially, seeing if they were a fit for youth ministry, and then passing them off to other parts of the church. So I just enjoy building relationships and plugging people in wherever their best fit is. And so that's I think been the highlights for me, for sure.
And then kind of a related question with that, who's your favorite staff member and why is it me? No. What is kind of your hope for Faith Covenant as you move on from here?
Yeah, so it might sound silly and crazy, but my first hope for Faith Covenant is don't hire another Davey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once was enough.
So I can be quirky and weird and obnoxious, but the point behind that is don't try to replace me. My hope is that Faith will find the next person that is right for this next phase of ministry in the youth group, and that both parents and students will rally around that person and just encourage them. And it's okay to reminisce about me if they had happy times with me, but not dwell on that too much and just really welcome in the new person.
Let them be them.
Yeah, let them be them. You don't have to compare them to me in any way. It's not important. But yeah, just yeah, just let them be them and usher in the new kind of season. And God, I do think God will bless this ministry, and it's going to continue to grow and develop. And yeah, I just want to tell people to just be an encouragement, and especially for students, change is hard. And sometimes for students, it's even hard for them to understand, like, I understand you're moving on, but I don't understand why. Like, why do you have to move? So it's both a let's embrace the new person, but also let's also recognize that change is really hard, and change is hard for teenagers especially. Mm-hmm. 'Cause they're already gone through so many changes.
Yeah. All right, and then kind of with that, let's kind of talk about the changes that you're going to be going through. So the first question with that is, what is your new role? Like we said, he's going to be the youth pastor at Lakeside Covenant Church up in Duluth, but what is that role?
Yeah, so they're calling me to be a pastor, which I had to go up for a whole spiel, and they had to vote on me, and met the youth group and met different key leaders, so... obviously, we're having this podcast, so they voted to vote me to be their next youth pastor. But with that comes things like...
And it was like a 97% vote, right?
Yeah. With that comes things like starting my licensure process, which I was going to start here.
Which is through the covenant. It's a step towards ordination.
Yep. And as soon as I get licensed, there's things like a pension that will be really great for our family. But benefits, obviously, which I have here, but it's just more of a full-time position. Mm-hmm. Better financial situation for our family that we've been praying for years is just how Laura, not to get into the numbers, but Laura is well-paid at her current church, and so that was part of the struggle when she was trying to find work is... I'm going to be at a certain level, but changing careers is hard. So this church just gives us an opportunity to do that. What was your question? I feel like I lost
that kind of transition. Well, that actually is a good transition to the next question, which is what drew you to the role?
Yeah, okay. I was hoping I didn't miss that. Yeah, so what drew us, really the linchpin, so to speak, was last Thanksgiving. I think Laura and I, so we both...
And for anybody who doesn't know, Laura is Davey's wife.
Yep. And she works full-time as a children's director at a church in Eagan for the last 10 years. And so part of the process was we knew that this is temporary and it was only going to be for a short term because just to give you a little peek behind the curtain, every Sunday morning about 6... to 6:30, Laura wakes up, gets ready to go to work, drags our soon-to-be 10-year-old out of the bed, kicking and screaming because she doesn't want to wake up at 7 in the morning on a Sunday. And then I wake up around that time, and I get ready, and I get my daughter, and then we go to separate churches. And so it's been really hard for us, but I think we managed it as well as we could. But around Thanksgiving, I really felt a tug from the Holy Spirit of, like, we got to figure this out. And then around that time, Laura was saying, I feel like I miss our daughter Kaylee's whole middle school because she's just been spending a lot of time with me and at youth events and doing things with the youth group here at Faith and being here at Faith on Sundays. And so that was really a big gut punch and, like, a stab to the heart, basically. And so that was, I think, just the start of the discerning process. And then I heard about this job probably a month later. And so it hasn't been an overnight thing. It hasn't been something that just kind of on a whim decided to do. It's been a long process, a lot of people praying over it. Gone to certain people in our denomination for counsel. And just feels like not only a good fit for me, some people in our faith community have really said, I think this is a good move for you, and you'll fit in Duluth well, which is which is good to hear. Even though people are going to miss me, they're seeing the and affirming the call, which mm-hmm. is important too. So yeah, that's, I felt like I was going to say something else, but I lose my train of thought sometimes.
So then what are some of your hopes and expectations for the new role at Lakeview Covenant?
Yeah. So for the new role, what I'm really excited about is just leading a team. Not that I haven't led a team here, but the team I'm going to be leading up at Lakeview is double what I have here. So here we have about 7 people together, and up at Lakeville I'll have 12 or 13. So just leading a team, part of what I've known about myself but kind of confirmed about myself is I really enjoy collaboration and just working with people and developing people and having vision, yes, but giving people space to let's dream together and let's develop a plan together and let's push the ball in the same direction, I guess. I don't want to be the only one pushing the ball up the hill. That's not as enjoyable as the other way. And sometimes the other way is harder with collaboration. Can be a lot harder. That our planning last year, it was for Arctic Blast, it was the first year where, especially when we were there, I kept telling my partner in crime, her name's Paula, and she works at Restoration Covenant just down the road. And I kept telling her in a joking way, I feel like we're growing up now. Because things were more put together, they were more streamlined, and just more professional. We had a band for the first time, we had a guest speaker for the first time. That wasn't me or some other youth pastor in our group. But we had 6 or 7 different voices in the room, and when you give people more opportunity to be part of the process, that takes longer. And it's just, but I think it's so much more fruitful to collaborate with people, like, than just doing it yourself. So that's something that I just know about myself. I love being with people. I love building relationships. I love developing leaders. I love looking for potential in people and just leading them. I don't know if we've talked about in this space. I'm pretty sure I've told you over the years, but one of my heroes in kind of the biblical story that doesn't get talked about nearly enough is Barnabas. So Barnabas took Paul under his wing. We know that Paul went to the desert to study for 3 years, but then we also know that he learned how to church plant, and Barnabas was his mentor for probably about 7 years. So is that 10-year, is there a 10-year process that we don't know much about? And then we know about all the stuff that he did and writing all the letters in the books, the book of Acts especially. We know a lot of what he did, but there was a good amount of time gap there between his 3 missionary journeys. So I'm just a big fan of Barnabas, and what I love about Barnabas is he was, I think, secure in his own skin and who he was and what God called him to be, that he could mentor someone that was going to do greater things than he could ever hope to do himself. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, he was fine with it. I just love that picture. So, is there something I was missing? Let me check my notes. I brought this for a reason.
We do sometimes plan questions in advance, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just really excited about the growing ministry. It's a growing, thriving ministry of 60 to 70 students on a weekly basis. And something that we've started to see here at Faith in our youth group is our core kids are starting to invite their friends. This youth group's a little further along with that. I'm excited also, I didn't actually write this on my notes, but it's a unique challenge in one sense, but also excitement. The youth pastor that is still at the church, he's stepping into a role of like a next-gen pastor, but he's still there. And so that's just a really healthy transition.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for me in some ways that he's still there and still Not that he's going to be intentionally looking on my shoulder, but looking over my shoulder a little bit because he's still there. But I'm just excited for, like, a healthy transition. The youth pastor's not leaving. He's just stepping in a new role, and then I'm coming in for the, kind of the next phase of the youth ministry. So I'm excited about that. And then also there's a couple pockets of older high school students that are wanting to dig deeper into the Bible, and so they've started their own Bible studies, and that kind of sparks some innovation and just trying new things, I guess, with kind of the piece of Young Life or Youth for Christ. They do Bible studies, like, before school kind of deal, after school, during school, and just outside of, like, a program thing. And so I'm excited to experiment with that idea a little bit more of how can we create a culture where students are taking time out of their schedule and they're not at church to do a Bible study, whatever that looks like. I don't know what that would look like, but just excited about that.
All right, and so then as you start to approach this move, what challenges are ahead for you and your family? I mean, obviously you're selling a house now. That's always interesting to do.
Yeah.
I know you guys have been working hard to get your house ready for
much work.
All of that.
Yeah, so just, again, pull the curtain back a little bit. I'm a pretty open and honest person. When I got the official call that I was voted in and the job was official, it was on Father's Day and we were eating dinner or lunch somewhere for Father's Day. And my older daughter, Kaylee, was excited, and my younger daughter, Addie, started crying. And she was probably crying for a couple hours. So it's going to be hard for them, I think. My older daughter, she tends to process things a lot slower. So as we get closer and actually packing up boxes and actually moving at her house, I think it's going to be challenging for her. Things exciting. It seems like a really great time for Laura to step out of full-time ministry, but now she's going to have to find a job. Just finding the right job, because she wants to go back to school to finish her school counseling degree. And so finding the right job that will give us enough income to buy a house. And we just need to catch up, I'll say, with savings and retirement stuff and trying to at least pay for some of our kids' education if they decide to go to college. All those things.
Yeah.
And then it's cold up there. I'm not excited about that. As a Southern California person.
We had a good laugh today at lunch about, like, so have you ever driven in Duluth in the winter? And he just paused, and we just, like, laughed.
A couple times, but I can tell.
There's a lot of hills there, and hills in winter are.
I can tell you with all sincerity that I am nervous about the hills, for sure. And I'm already plotting, okay, what are the ways I can just go around the hills in the wintertime and not. Because I am worried about that. Like, I don't know. People say it's fine and you get used to it, but there's steep hills there.
There are. Yeah, I don't know if your car is going to be as functional there as it is here.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out. Yeah, that's, I think, the questions I have prepped. Do you have any memories or fun things you want to talk about?
Oh, dear.
My time here?
I remember when we first had the opening available here, I was like, I wonder if Davey would be interested. I know it's part-time. He has a family, so I don't know if he might be wanting something full-time. So I kind of doubted that that it would work out just on your end. But I was like, well, I know he's looking, so I might as well give it a call. And then when I learned that he was actually, like, being seriously considered, I was like, oh, this could be fun. This could also be dangerous, but this could be fun.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's just been a lot of fun to, you know, extend our friendship beyond what we had as classmates, you know, because after seminary, I think we all kind of assumed for the most part that we'd kind of still be in touch with each other, but we'd all just kind of be doing our own thing and kind of catching up with each other when we can. But then you came on staff and it was like, oh, okay, so now we get to continue life together. And so it's just kind of it's just been so fun to kind of see student Davey and then work Davey, because I got to see more of your family and just see more of what God has made you to be. There's always just the entertaining harassment of each other, which is always a good time. Like we said, that's our love language. Probably not the same love language that you have with your wife, but that's probably for the best.
I think one of my memories that I wanted to share that I just forgot about is, not necessarily with us, but just in the faith community. Brad, for one, I'm thankful that Brad took, I think, a little bit of a chance on me. I had other ministry experience, but not a ton of, like, youth pastor experience. But he really had a lot of patience with me with, like, stage presence and lack of confidence and helping refine my preaching skills, and I really appreciate that. Been kind of joking the last couple weeks about the fact that Brad not only has a bachelor's but a master's in theater, and he's very particular about certain things on stage. And my first pastor that I worked under, he could care less about any of that kind of stuff, so it was a sharp learning curve at first. But he's really taught me a lot about just taking care of some of my nervous tics, for lack of a better term, and just having more confidence. And how do you, I wouldn't say how do you prep a sermon, but how do you, I don't even know how you feel about this word, but perform a sermon. I don't want to feel deliver. Like it's a performance, but yeah, delivery.
Yeah.
And it needs to be practiced, and it needs to be practiced, and it needs to be practiced.
Yeah. Oftentimes pastors practice their sermons before they get on stage. Like, that's a thing.
And one thing that I realized about myself because of my disability and my epilepsy is I would not be able to just go off an outline. I have to have a typed out sermon. I'm not reading it word for word, but I have to have it because I'll lose my train of thought, and then I need to be able to find my place. Because just one of the side effects of my disorder is I just lose my thoughts, and there's no way for me to find it, like what I'm talking about right now. I wanted to talk about 15 minutes ago, but I just lost it.
Yeah.
And that just happens more for a person with epilepsy than I think an average person.
So. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just real appreciative of that in the journey. And there's a couple people again in the church that really encouraged me and really valued the style of communication that I brought to the table and the diversity. You have to be a special person if you wanted 5 or 6 Davies, you know, like quirky, weird personalities. And so I think I just brought a little bit of spice to the staff. You don't want too much of that Davey spice.
No, one is enough. Never again. Someday we should start a mega church, the mega church that will end all mega churches.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, but.
I don't know either.
We had so many different ideas over the years of, like, different church titles. Like, do you remember, what was that one we came up with at the restaurant that one time?
I just remember the thing about tending the herd.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. We're not going to do it. It's fine. Last question. Who's your least favorite person at Faith? No, I'm kidding. Really? No, everybody's great here. I just want to say, you know, on behalf of Faith, I think I can speak for all of us when we say that we've been very blessed to have you here. It's been so exciting to see the momentum getting developed. You know, for example, we had a student on stage this week playing in the worship team.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that, I think, is a part of your leadership. And so it's just good. Even though I don't really do much with youth ministry, I'm just excited to see that happening because... Yeah. If we don't have youth ministry, the church will start dwindling. You know, families are where church growth happens, and it's just so exciting to see young people investing in their faith, because if they don't do that early, the likelihood of them doing that later is just very minimal. Yeah, so.
I think, I know this isn't very streamlined, but I think one of the things that the youth group really has going for it and the church really has going for it is actually two things, and they're really hard things, but I think if you get over the initial phase of people bucking you as church, it's really helpful. So the first thing that seems, well, I'll go with the big thing first. When I first got here, Sarah was all about, we got to have families in the worship service, and that is a huge thing, because we're going against the waters that the mega church has really done for the last 25 years, and that's drop your kids off in children's ministry and drop them off in a youth, it could be a Sunday school class, but for bigger churches, they're doing like full-on services on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
So we're segregating the family. So we decided, no, we're going to have families in church. If they have crying babies, that's fine. If they have rambunctious kids, that's fine. We want to hold up the value of families in our worship service, and I think that is huge. We give them opportunity to step out when the sermon starts, which I think is good too, but it's never been like, you need to go over here now.
Yeah.
I've been in churches where they say they value kids, but then they say,
mm-hmm.
and actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And the second thing that I think is small, but actually huge, because a lot of churches aren't doing this, is we have a culture of teenagers volunteering for VBS, volunteering for nursery on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
volunteering. There's a family that greets and ushers. So we already have established, in my time here, a culture of teenagers volunteering, and to the point where it's a natural thing. And so I think that's a huge strength of this church right now. Too often, churches are like, oh, we don't know what to do with teenagers, just have them hang out with the youth pastor. Or, and it's not bad, but or an idea of, let's have a youth takeover Sunday,
mm-hmm.
which is great. But I don't think it's great if we have a youth takeover Sunday and then we don't see them for a year.
Yeah.
And so all that is to say is we've had a lot of small wins, but I don't think they're small. It's just been really good to see the culture of our teens wanting to help in the nursery, wanting to help out in the elementary age, wanting to help during for VBS, all that stuff is pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those two things that go together, and that's I think it's something that we should be proud of. There's more building that faith needs to do, but should be proud of those two steps, because especially that first step is really challenging. The church my wife works at is very similar size to us, and there's a lot of parents that were not frustrated, not disappointed, I didn't really agree. They're like mad that the church would expect them to take their kids into them with worship during.
That's how I grew up.
Oh yeah, but
I'm old.
My point is that I don't want to put it on the mega church, but in the since the late 90s, we've, as a church, as an evangelical church, we've developed this model of segregation, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the kids are over here, youth's over here, and then the adults are over here. And the adults have seen it as, I need time, and Sarah, you say this all the time, I need time to just be by myself and worship God without my kids. But in no other space, and I'm basically quoting Sarah right now, but in no other space in your parent life are you expected to be just leave, I need space to not be by my kids. In every other area of your life, you're by your kids, and that's just part of being a parent. And so why have we set up that expectation in church? Mm. So It's really good. I don't know. I can't speak for mega churches, but I feel like some of the, us smaller, medium-sized churches are starting to make that hard decision, and it's good. It's just hard in the short term, rewarding in the long term. So I'm proud of us, and I'm proud that I was here during that time to kind of push that. It feels like pushing a train sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's worth the effort, I think.
Sounds good. Any last words that you want to share with Faith Covenant? Or
no, I think those are the last words.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us, not just today, but just for the last 3 years. It's been a good time. And
has been.
We'll still enjoy getting to see you for another couple weeks. This will be coming out in July, and so your last day is July 24th, so you're helping through VBS, helping with the volunteering of VBS, which we are thankful for, and then you'll be transitioning. And when do you start your role at Lakeview? August 4th, okay.
I'll have, I think, 2 days on the job, and then I am going to take, like, probably 20, 25 middle schoolers to Moose, so.
That sounds like the worst way to start a job to me. Like, the idea of that just, like, gives me, like...
It's not ideal, but it's what we're going
to
do.
It'll be a good way to get to know them.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Davey. And thank you all for watching and for listening. If you have any comments, questions, please let me know. My email address is listed in the episode notes down below, so please check that out. And as always, make sure you subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything, and leave us a review to know how we're doing and what we can do differently. So,
and if you have complaints,
yes,
send them Calvin's way.
No, send them to Brad. No, yes, you can send complaints to me. That's fine. I'll just list your email address. Well, you won't be checking in anymore. Oh, you're like invincible right now. You can do whatever you want. Okay. Anyway, thanks for watching or for listening. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Bye.